Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. I'm your host, Chris Chin, just coming at you as the Warriors are cleaning up a 25-ish point win against the Chicago Bulls. Last couple minutes here. Got to empty the bench. Although, actually, you could argue that the bench is emptied from the get-go in this one because the bench scored, I think, like 70 points. All I have to say is, guys, welcome to the post-Curry era. Yes, the Quentin Post, Steph Curry era. This post-Curry era coming to us a little sooner and different looking than we thought. But hey, guys, the future is here. Quentin Post, the future stretch five, premier stretch five of the league, shooting 50% from three on high volume shooting and just basically giving the Warriors a brand new wrinkle and a much needed outlet every time Steph Curry gets trapped. Hey, finally, there's someone open who can knock down a three. All that being said, I'm half kidding, but you know, it's great to see just a viable stretch five. And you know, I think the shooting numbers will regulate and we'll kind of see really truly how well Quentin Post can stretch the floor. 42% shooter in college. I mean, there's a very good chance he shoots upwards of 37-38% from three. And you know, he's going to get a very steady diet of pick and pop until the defense starts to basically close out, and which point, you know, we've seen, and again, very small sample, but you know, he can make the simple pass, he can see the floor and make quick decisions. I like, just, you know, even just kind of when he caught that ball, and I think it was the first half, kind of along the baseline and two defenders came to him, just kind of wheels around, finds, I forget who it was, but found a cutter for an open layup. So you see, just, you know, these are the types of rookies and, you know, more so bigs that the Warriors have drafted with, you know, 3-4 years of college experience. TJD kind of the same way, where they're, you know, they're ready to play, they're ready to contribute in very different ways, but they, you know, pretty high IQ player. And again, it's, you know, very early with Post, but you can just kind of see that, you know, he's a confident player. Obviously he can shoot the ball. You know, he was able to score and find, you know, multiple levels of scoring in college. Ironically, even though his last name is Post, he's not quite the back to the basket, you know, 7-footer that you, I mean, I guess no, it doesn't really exist in the NBA anymore anyways. But so we'll see if he can, you know, take advantage of size mismatches. You know, rather than just being a stretch five, you know, can he, you know, put the ball on the floor and create a little bit? I know it's not going to be his forte, doesn't have a great handle, like many 7-footers, but you know, if he can, you know, be a straight line dribbler, get to the hoop, make a pass off the dribble, or just kind of, you know, find a little like 5-footer or even get all the way in for a finish, we'll see if that evolution of his game exists and we'll see how good he is. But nevertheless, I mean, at the very least, he's going to command respect and spacing out of that five spot. And God, it is just so nice to see. I think we've been clamoring the entire season, and especially recently, and especially as Kuminga starts to merge, you know, you just need a fifth player to space the floor. And, you know, even against the Kings the other night, I mean, just having Post and Gui Santos, who we'll get to in a bit, on the floor, you see a lot more, you know, 4-out and even 5-out combinations, you know, around the 3-point arc, and it opens everything up. You know, offense is all of a sudden, you know, at the very least getting decent 3-point looks or getting all the way to the hoop. It's just amazing what spacing does. It's what the NBA is these days. It's what the Warriors started with their small ball. It's what the Warriors have been unable to do without the right personnel. And just, you know, basically the only big that can shoot the ball, which is weird to say, has been Draymond. And, you know, he's shot well, but, you know, he's by no means a stretch 4 or 5. So, you know, it gives me hope that you can start playing these lineups when the Warriors get back to full health. You know, you can play Draymond next to Post. Both can, you know, shoot close to that 38 or above percentile from three. And, you know, what Post gives you in size on the interior on defense, he's a little slower footed. You know, he's has trouble kind of staying in front of obviously the quicker guards, and he's going to, just like all young bigs, you know, getting some foul trouble here and there. But you know, I think if you're gonna pick anybody to put next to a guy like that, you know, who's better than Draymond Green, right? You see Draymond just get the best defensively out of so many players throughout the course of the Warriors dynasty. You know, it allows Draymond to play that four, you know, cover post when he can. Post can, you know, give some rim protection when Draymond's kind of just trapping and playing out on the perimeter a bit. We see what Draymond can be at the four. We see how he can, you know, really get the best out of the fives he's playing next to defensively. You know, he's one of the, you know, best on-court defensive generals that you're going to see ever in the NBA. And, you know, I believe, you know, Post is smart enough and, you know, has the length at the very least to learn and, you know, just kind of follow Draymond's lead on the defensive side of the ball. And if that's the case, you know, that's exactly what the Warriors need. And looking even just beyond this year, you know, I think the Warriors might have found something. I mean, even just a 7-footer who can shoot 36% from three is something, and he's going to get minutes and he's going to have, you know, a decent career in the NBA. So if the Warriors have actually found that, you know, they at least finally have lineups with, you know, four and five out possibilities going forward. It unlocks Jonathan Kuminga spacing. It most importantly unlocks Steph Curry's spacing. Because, oh man, okay, let's just gonna get to the more grounded news in the last couple of days. You know, obviously Curry was just getting double, triple, quintuple teamed against the Kings, and you know he actually, for only scoring 12 points, still had a good game. And you know, I know you're not going to really shoot into and attack a double team, but it's Steph Curry's having trouble getting separation. Even in the, you know, there are times where he is just one-on-one and, you know, he's just that step back, you know, going to his left and that step back, you know, that just isn't really always available anymore. You know, when you're playing against a team like the Bulls and, you know, you'll have your Zach LaVines of the world falling asleep on D, you know, Curry's going to get his, he's going to get his shots up. But when you see a concentrated effort like the Kings did with Keon Ellis, just, you know, basically face guarding him the entire game, trapping everything there. Not that I expect him to be able to create against two guys, but just, you know, he's not able to take advantage of the brief moments when he does have single coverage. And you even saw it a little bit against the Bulls tonight too. He's just, you know, he's just not quite able to blow by guys. He's not able to step back on guys quite like he did before. And you know, Curry's always going to make you pay when there's bad defense and you're giving him space. But you know, come the playoffs, come clutch time, like we've seen a lot this year, you know, Curry's struggling to get a lot of his separation to be able to get shots off. And you know, when he's not able to create for himself, then you know, that's why the Warriors are going through so many huge droughts at the end of games. But like we talked about, you know, having that available pick and pop option, you know, it's basically another iteration of, you know, the two-man game with him and Draymond, which the Warriors will go to at the end of games. And rather than now it's Draymond Green trying to become a scorer and make decisions, which sometimes goes well, sometimes goes horribly wrong, now you at least have the option of, hey, here's a 40% shooter that's going to have a wide open shot stepping into it. And you know, you will live with that shot in the aggregate. So just great to see another wrinkle. Let's get to back to the good, right? Gui Santos. It seems the Warriors have also uncovered something with Gui. And again, take it with a grain of salt because the Warriors are just full of players who, you know, flash for a game, flash for a few games, and you're saying, oh man, guys like Moody must play, and you know, Buddy Hield must play at one point. You know, and it's just a whole bunch of guys that are up and down, and they're inconsistent and they're young. You know, and that's what I'm worried about. You know, Gui Santos, who is basically, you know, new to the rotation, never really been an NBA player. You figure he's going to come back down to earth at some point. He's probably not going to continue going 4 for 5 or 5 for 6 from three like he was the last two nights. But you know, as Gui has started to play, maybe the last what handful of games, I'm starting to be a believer in what he offers. I understand he's going to only be like a 35, 36% shooter, and I'll live with that from three, but it's all the little intangibles he's bringing. It's the energy, it's the hustle. On both ends of the floor. He gives you good size. He gives you good strength. He's just the perfect role player. And as he continues to evolve, he's got some clever finishing moves. He can kind of get into the lane, and it's not quite there yet, but we've seen glimpses in the G League of him being really effective. Summer League, I kind of just liked how he was just a two and even sometimes three level scorer. So I think that's the next iteration to maybe saying, hey, Gui Santos, you're locking yourself into what 18, 20 minutes a night at that 3-4, kind of that big power wing, we'll call it, spot. And that's gonna reduce some wear and tear on Draymond. We'll see what that means when Kuminga comes back. There's really kind of a logjam at power forward now, right? When everyone's back, because hey, you'd like to play Draymond at the four, not the five. Gui Santos, you're going to be playing the four, and I guess sometimes you can call it the three. Kuminga is a four, whether he wants to be called a four or not. Even been playing Moody recently at the four a bit, and I think the Warriors have actually really liked Moody kind of playing that four. Allows him, to play against size rather than speed, where I think he's like struggled a little bit, on both sides of the ball. He can't quite get the same separation on offense against a speedier defender. He's quick and he's long, but I think he's a better defender against kind of your bigger, slower wings and power forwards. I thought he did a decent job on DeRozan 2 nights ago, and until DeRozan just went crazy. But my point is, you're and then Kyle Anderson also, at the four. He'll probably find himself out of the rotation. So you have a lot of fours, and you need someone to be able to put log those some of those minutes at the three when everyone's back. But again, Gui Santos has really shown me something. I think he was what, plus 31 tonight, second only to Moses Moody, plus 33. And while we're on the subject, Moses Moody's been playing really good. Started the season, and Bob Fitzgerald was basically summing it up, and he had one of the best camps and preseasons of all Warriors. He got his contract, and a little up and down, trying to find minutes, and he had his, I think it was a knee injury for a bit, and kind of fell out of rhythm. But he's come on strong the last couple of games, and I think, I just like I was saying earlier, you kind of go in, you fall in and out of love with Moody, but at his age, and we paid him. We paid him his next contract. I think we made our decision. You need to play Moody his 20 minutes, 17 to 20 minutes a game, and trust that that shot's gonna come around. If it's not coming around early, maybe it'll come around late. But he's just one of the few options that gives you just kind of a good two-way option and isn't really a huge hole on one side or the other. If we're ignoring his off-ball defense, which hopefully gets better with playing time. But I think my conclusion is, and maybe it's, I'm a prisoner of the moment, but Moody needs to continue logging minutes, and you just gotta. I'd rather see Moody than Buddy Hield at this point, because you just what from night to night, Buddy Hield is just gonna win or lose you the game, and more often than not, it's just gonna shoot you out of games. If Buddy has it going, sure, let him keep playing. But I think Moody just needs consistent minutes, just from a youth development standpoint, if nothing else. And you just gotta commit to it, right? We've seen enough of Buddy Hield. We've seen enough of Gary Payton. And I by enough, I mean we know what we're getting out of them. But really, the what's gonna bring this very average 500 team above 500 is you got to have some unknown, and you have to have some development. It's why it's been so refreshing to see Gui Santos. It's been so refreshing to see Quentin Post. It's even been refreshing to see Moody come in, and just somebody that looks like they're starting to develop, start to grow, and just give you some hope heading forward to the future. And speaking of the future, one last little nice to see. Brandon Podziemski came back, and he looked great. Logged 21 minutes off an abdomen injury, which is, you don't really know what the conditioning is going to be. But shot it confidently. Seems to hopefully been able to just use that time to just, shoot around, kind of just, break whatever kind of funk rhythm he had been in early in the season. He had been coming along pretty well before he got hurt. But, as Schroeder played better tonight, but I think you're going to find, same thing I was saying earlier. We kind of already know what Schroeder is, and he's not a great fit here. He's a veteran. He's just a guy at this point that can be a backup point guard. Podziemski's the one that has upside, and it didn't, you know, he had a rough start, but if he can start to put together that shot, be confident, kind of handle, you know, he'll take his one charge a game at least, and, you know, start to find a way to be playing a playmaker for others, you know, that's where you're actually going to find yourself having a chance to be better than a 500 team. And that's all I want, guys. I just want a shot to be better. I don't want to accept being middle of the road by playing the same guys that don't have any more upside, and you just know what you're getting out of them. They'll always be there, and you know they'll be there when, you know, there's times that you need some spacing. You can put Buddy Hield in. You're facing two, you know, you need 2 point of attack defenders. Put Wiggins in there, who will be in there already, and then you're getting from Gary Payton the second in there. You know, you have these guys for certain roles and certain matchups, but it should not take away from getting guys like Moody, Post, Santos, even Pajemski their minutes at this point. Lastly, since we played the Bulls and, you know, we're coming up on the trade deadline, the trade that I would like to see, and this is me just kind of in the moment again, and I know it kind of handcuffs us going forward potentially, but there's rumors that the Bulls are making Coby White available in trade, and he, you know, is a better version of Dennis Schroeder. He's younger, more athletic, more explosive. A better shooter is the main thing, a better creator. You know, it's almost like Schroeder in his prime is kind of what Coby White's kind of trending towards as a 25-year-old. And the nice thing is Coby White is on a $12 million contract and has another year after that. So if you can get Coby White, and I think we have seen enough to know that a stretch five is so important, and Quentin Post is great, but I need to see more before I can just say where our stretch five situation is fixed. So you got to go get Vucevic, right? You can go get Coby White and Vucevic, who are making a collective 34, 35 million together. You can match your outgoing salary, your expiring salaries, which is really important for the Warriors to get off of before the trade deadline. Otherwise, you're going to be wasting all this salary filler. So the names I'm talking about, it's Looney at 8 million. It's Payton at, I think he's at 9. It's Schroeder's 12 million. I mean, you have Kyle Anderson, who's not expiring, but that's 9 million you can send off. You know, those are the guys that if you enter the offseason with them, you either have to re-sign them and pay them to different, who knows what contract, or you are just losing them and you can't use them as salary filler to package with, say, draft picks to accumulate a guy like Coby White or Vucevic. So the trade deadline is the time to get rid of those guys. If you aggregate those guys' salaries, you can get close to matching the Coby White, Vucevic 35 million. Then it becomes a draft pick issue. It sounds like the Bulls want a first-round pick for Vucevic. I mean, maybe that can be a swap. The Warriors don't want to pay a first, but maybe it's a heavily protected first or a swap. Or, you know, because this is a bigger deal and you're giving expiring contracts and Coby White's in there, I mean, give a one for Coby White. I think the Bulls might want even more than that for Coby White because of the deal and his upside. So you say you're giving a one and a two, maybe another first round swap for Coby White, and then a first round swap and either or a two for Vucevic. Okay, so all in all, my trade would be a first round swap and a second round pick or two if we still have that many, with all those expiring contracts, Looney, GP2, Schroeder, and whoever else, and maybe if you have to throw Kyle Anderson in, so be it. For Vucevic, Coby White gives you that stretch five. Now you have a stretch five pretty much anytime you want between Post and Vucevic. Coby White gives you a much better version of what you were hoping to get out of Schroeder. He gives you upside for the future. He's an 18-point scorer, like five assists, and he shoots well. And he just gives you that athleticism, that youth going forward. And then you also still get a hold on to Wiggins and Kuminga. And then you still got Steph and Dre. That's a pretty good six-man roster. And that's kind of looking, you know, you can compete and kind of gel together this year. You're probably, you know, you might get to the playoffs. You might win a series at most. But most importantly, you know, I could be wrong, but heading into the offseason with that roster, now you have those contracts that you can package if somebody like a Durant or somebody like a Giannis, one of those pipe dream players, becomes available. Now it's not automatically, hey, you have to give up Wiggins and or Kuminga sign and trade. You know, once you sign Kuminga to his, call it 30, $3 million. You know, now those aren't your only options to match salaries. You can just go send off Vucevic and Kobe White as the primary part of it. The problem is you don't really have too many more picks to trade, but that's another problem for another day. So I think it's a decent middle move, or you're just standing pat and you're just kind of just riding this out and you're just keeping your hopes alive for a bigger free agent in the off season. Anyways, that's a conversation for a much later time. For now, Warriors, a 500 team, but a team that is entering the post Curry era. And I never thought I'd actually be happy to say that, because it doesn't mean Steph Curry is done playing basketball. It means he has a pick and pop partner in Quentin Post. All right, guys, sorry I rambled a bit on that one, but I just want to get my thoughts out. I'm heading on a cruise to Mexico for the next 4 days, so I owed you guys a little bit of my thoughts before that. All right, next time I talk to you, we will be over 500 and we will be on a roll, and Quentin Post will be the next Carl Anthony Towns. Until next time, I have been Chris Chin. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.